5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, this is not first class.
Circus! Afro Circus! Afro Circus! Afro Polka-Dot! 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 Afro Circus!
Welcome to The Clown Car, a parenting podcast where a mom...
And a dad!
Talk about, an old dad, apparently. Talk about what it's like being the ringleaders in their own circus.
We are not professionals. The only credentials we have are for kids. So do your research and find what works for you. Hello, fellow ringleaders. I am your host, Barry Ricks. And with me, I have my beautiful wife, Crystal Ricks.
What? I just get beautiful this week? Last week, I was... 2 weeks ago, I was voluptuous.
Well, you know, you freaked out when I use all these...
I don't freak out.
Adjectives, and so...
I don't appreciate voluptuous... Actually, I do appreciate that, but not on recording.
Whatever. Anyway, welcome to Clown Car, episode 19.
Woo!
Yeah. So, hi guys. How's it going? How are you, honey?
They're not going to answer you.
What? They can't? What? They don't respond?
It's going well.
It sounded like a question mark here. You're not sure what's going on?
No,
or?
I'm sure. I'm just wondering if you're going to, like... Go, is this leading somewhere?
I'm just asking, how's it going?
It's going great.
Sometimes people just want to know how you are, honey.
Although, it's okay, because it's 9:30. We put our kids in bed an hour ago.
Roughly.
Then we were Skyping with your family.
Yeah.
And when I opened the door, all of them were awake, playing with toys in one of the kids' rooms.
And they're all still awake, pretty much.
Yeah, we tried.
Yeah.
I say we just lock ourselves in our room and let them fend for themselves.
That's right. Do you lock yourselves in your room? Let us know.
Who doesn't? Do you remember that one time? We, like, locked ourselves in our room and under the bed we had stashed a tub of brownies. And we're just sitting on the bed like, they don't even know.
These are our brownies.
Silly children.
You don't know. Well, let's go to... Story of the week!
Story of the week.
Story of the week, story of the week, story of the week, 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 week.
Okay, if you can't tell, we stayed up really late last night, and guess what? We're tired!
We're tired!
I'm, like, beyond tired, though.
It's, like, a reoccurring thing for parents.
I think I consecutively yawned, like, 10 times tonight, and it was really annoying. Remember when you nudged me and you're like, stop
I'm like, stop yawning. It's annoying.
I know. It was annoying.
So
Anyway,
so stories.
So tonight we had our last parenting class.
Yeah, our last parenting class.
Of this session thing that we had signed up for.
So how was it?
Well, I left. We got a certificate saying we passed our parenting class.
We got a certificate.
And like a graduation certificate. And I felt so empowered. I was like, all right, I'm going to be the best mom in the world.
I'm an awesome parent now.
And we walk out.
This piece of paper says so.
Proof.
Proof.
Proof, my dad.
Proof I'm a good parent.
Best mom. No. And then, so at this place that we go to.
Church?
At this mystical place.
This mystical
church.
Place called church.
Okay, well, yeah, our
the program. The program is hosted through our church.
Yeah, and so they offer free babysitting, and so we pick up our kids, and I'm like on the top of the world. Like I have the certificate, and I have the skills, and I'm gonna go home, and I'm gonna be the best mom. And we leave. We hadn't even left the parking lot. And both of us are like, come on, children, let's get in the car.
We're good parents. Listen to us.
Look at my paper.
Look at the paper. Look at the paper.
I know. And then it wasn't even, literally, we hadn't even gotten in the car in the parking lot. And our kids like scatter like cockroaches.
They're like, we're outside.
They're all swinging around on the handicap parking poles. And one kid's like running around. She's like, I can't go. I need my rock. And just crazy. And I was already like, my eye was twitching. And I was like, I'm a good parent. I am a good parent.
You should just look at the paper every morning and be like, I'm a good parent. I'm like a good parent. Talk. Yeah.
Look in the mirror. You can do this.
We should tape it on our mirror. So whenever we're getting ready for a ring, I'm a good parent.
Yeah. And seeing, I guess. That's totally. Right. So, but it was so frustrating that I was like, this, I'm going to fail. Like, I should just rip this paper up right now. Cause I'm already like, come on kids. I'm a good parent. I'm holding it in. So it was frustrating, and I ended up having to cart one of our children under my arm like a football to throw her in a touchdown in the car.
Be like, oh, slam, what now? And you do a little end zone dance.
I know. So it was interesting. Then we got home, and I was like, just go to bed. I'll start being good tomorrow.
And guess what?
They're still
awake.
They're still like cockroaches scattering. So... that was frustrating.
But we finished the parenting class, which was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually learned a lot. Here I thought I was the best parent, and who knew I wasn't?
Who knew? We started this podcast because we're not good parents, honey.
No, we're trying, and okay. We get a gold star.
We get a gold just star for just for trying.
Okay, so the other thing, speaking of being a good parent, one of my hobbies is reading. I'm one of those crazy readers, but I always pick... like fluffy books that I can put down, or usually, they're just fluffy enough that I can read them in like
really,
2 days.
They're really quick reads.
I usually like go for the cheap, not like romance, Harlequin yeah. romance, but I like historical romance, so it's not so sleazy. But
Regency romance.
Yes, you're learning the terms.
Oh,
look at
I know
you,
the
sexy.
Term.
So anyway. But Barry has been begging me to read this series by this author that we're both in love with. I'm pretty sure we both are in love with him.
That's right.
But, so I've been putting it off because it's like over 1,000 pages each book. But I finally was like, fine, I'll read it. And I haven't read anything like this for a while. And I got sucked in more, I think, than Harry Potter.
In deep. You were in
more
deep.
More than anything. I know, like... it's been sick how obsessed I've been
with
it.
We want to, like, go legally change our kids' names to,
I know, to all the characters.
All the characters in the book.
Whatever, I want my name to be like them. And so relating to parenting is I didn't parent this week because I had my book.
which is kind of good because that kind of leads into our main topic that we're going to talk about later.
Sort of.
So.
Except... yeah, I guess so. But so I was reading this book and it got to the point where I was like so obsessed. I was finding reasons to get rid of my kids. Like I would say first thing in the morning, I have this like wake up addiction. Like some people wake up and they need that cup of coffee. I'm like, I need that chapter. And so I'd be like, hey girls, do you want to take a bath? And then they'd get in the bathtub for like 45 minutes and I'd read like, hurry, read, they're almost out, hurry. And then I'd say, hey, should we go jump on the trampoline? And then I'd take out my chair and they'd jump and I'd read. And so I finished the, like, over 2,000 pages in 4 weeks, which, because I did 2 weeks in one, 2 weeks in the other.
Yeah.
But anyway, it ended and now I feel like my life is over. Now I actually have to be a parent again and my friends are dead. And...
how dare you?
So people always ask me, people that aren't big readers, they always say, how do you find time to read? With your kids. Like, how do you balance that? And I'm like...
it's called ignoring
them.
Them.
That's it. But to me, it's important. Like, I don't do it all the time, but I like to binge read occasionally.
It's important to ignore your kids.
Yes. If you don't get anything else out of this podcast, get that. Write that down.
It's important.
It's important
to ignore your kids.
Children.
That's right.
But, like, I read that book and now I feel all excited about life again. So, it's good. Right?
It was like you filled up your canteen.
It's like my own personal brand of heroin.
Yes.
I just quoted Twilight. I'm sorry.
Oh.
I'm ashamed.
You should be ashamed. Hang your head right
now. I am.
Now.
It's low. So that was that.
But yeah, no, it's... We both enjoy reading.
I know.
And it's kind of interesting because I'm the only one reading a book right now.
That's because I just finished 2,000 stinking pages. I haven't read that much in a long time.
Me, 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 me.
You better believe I'm bragging on public radio internet.
That's right.
I guess. So, issues that we've been having lately.
Oh, yes. One issue that we've been having is our 3-year-old, Lacey, is a chronic liar. And it's interesting because, like, I don't know if she understands what lying is, but she knows that she's not, she's gotta know that she's not telling the truth, because she'll, like, do something blatantly, and then she'll be like, I didn't do it.
Which is funny, because we brought this up, like, months ago on the show, mm-hmm. about her lying, and then it went away, but now that horrible monster is back.
It's, like, in full force now, too.
It's like a superpower with
her. And, you know, she's like, I didn't do that, or Jackson did it.
It's always, Jackson did it. The minute you're, like, lazy, she goes, Jackson did it.
To blame the one-year-old that can't defend himself.
I know, I'm like, that's kind of clever. I should start doing that.
But, yeah, it's kind of frustrating, because when she, I mean, sometimes she'll lie, like, she'll do something right in front of us, and she knows we're watching, and then she's just like, I didn't do it. And she's, like, so vehemently? Vehemently. Oh, that's a tough word. But she's just like, I didn't do it. And we're like, we just saw you do it. Yeah, like, stop tonight, lying.
Tonight we're playing a board game, and on the cards, you have to, like, keep track of your life. And I look down, and she's sitting there, she's killing me on my card. And I was like, Lacey, don't touch my card. And she's like, I didn't. And I was like, your hands are still on the card. If you're going to lie, at least set it down. So,
like, slide it under your sister's hand or something.
And then the drawer in her dresser broke. And I was like, Lacey, were you standing in this? Because it's the bottom drawer. And the way it broke looks like someone stood on it. And she goes, no, you did. But she's not saying it with attitude. I'm not saying it right. She's like, no, you did.
Yeah, and like, she's like,
no, I didn't.
She's like sweetly lying. And she does it with like a smile, too. She's like, no.
That's the other thing. We have never had this problem. Lacey has like this beautiful smile and sparkly eyes. And she's like this weird paradox where you want to kill her, but she's annoyingly adorable. Like the other night, we just wanted her to get in the car. We were leaving this event and she was standing at a tree. All of us were in the car and we're like, Lacey, get in the car. And she's just sitting there doing like, it looked like she was doing a photo shoot. She's just staring at us and like, la la la, pose, pose, with this huge grin. But she was doing it rebelliously, but it was adorable.
But she's like, I know I'm cute.
I know
I'm cute.
For 90s kids, she reminds me of Elvira from like Tiny Toons. You know, where she's like this cute little girl, but she's evil.
All right. Not that our child's and she evil. Likes to strangle animals, apparently.
She likes to kill bugs. Okay. It's kind of the same thing.
So, sure. All right. It works.
So, it's the weirdest thing. Like, we stare at her, and you have these feelings of, like, complete, like, you're so frustrated, so angry.
Yeah.
But you're also, part of you's like, oh.
Well, and it's hard because, like, she'll.
She's being naughty.
Well, and it's hard because you're trying to be, like, disciplined. And you're like, Lacey, don't do that. And she's like, la, la, la. And you're like, pfft. And you start laughing.
And you're
like,
you get even more mad.
And you're like, I've just totally destroyed any credibility I had with the discipline that I'm trying to issue at this point by laughing at your cuteness.
I mean, all of our kids are cute, but she's like Shirley Temple, just adorable.
Yeah. Evil adorable.
You know, like Elvira, right? Isn't she supposed to be like Shirley Temple? Anyway, do you even know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
No, you do, because you said. So.
From Tiny Toons.
Yeah, so if you guys have any problems with your kids lying or being adorable and evil.
Being evilly adorable.
Evil. How would you mix those? Adorable.
Let's not try.
Evil-orable. That's hard. What, we were doing it earlier. Oh, that game. Anyway, we're being really random tonight, so.
Tangent night! Woo!
So, speaking of church.
Church.
A couple minutes ago.
Yeah.
Church was fun today. Our kids
sarcastically
were
said.
Horrible. Horrible!
So our one-year-old dumps out the crayons, grabs a handful of crayons, throws it in the face of the people that are sitting behind us.
A handful of crayons to the people behind us. Oh, and then threw tantrums, and he kept throwing crayons, and we try to give him stuff to calm him down, and he just swipe it away like, nah!
He has this thing where he quickly swipes anything, and he's like, no!
Yeah. No is the only word he knows how to say. But it's funny because it reminds me, when we first became parents, and Grayson was like 2. He was super, super wild. Just totally off the wall wild. And we're sitting at church, and this couple who was a more established family, they told us, "We just love watching you guys try to wrangle your kid. Like, it's so funny to see how stressed out you get." Do you remember that?
Yeah.
When they're like, "Oh, it's funny that you don't know what you're doing." And I remember being like, "Oh, that was so rude." And then today, I felt the same way. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, people are watching us because we're totally bombing this whole parenting thing at church." Like, it was so frustrating and embarrassing. Like,
see,
there's no way to cover that our kid just chucked a handful of crayons at someone.
But I was laughing at it. We both started laughing, and
I was stress laughing. Like, this is ridiculous.
Oh, but I was laughing because I was thinking in my head, I'm like, people are probably laughing at us, but not like because we're bad parenting or being bad parents, but because it's just the situation. Be like, "Oh man, I'm glad I'm not those people."
I know, and that's how I felt. Like, I could just see that same, that's what I pictured. Like, I just saw that guy saying, "Oh, we love watching you guys at church because you're funny."
It makes us happy we're like, not, well, you.
At least you're getting something out of church. You're welcome. Free show.
So
that was fun.
Yeah. One-year-old throwing crayons.
Yeah.
So Lacey ate something and poisoned herself.
What way to kill the story?
What?
That's the end.
Oh, that's... Oh, I gave the catch already.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Moving on. You ruined it.
So Lacey, she comes in and she's like, "I'm going to throw up." And we're like, "What?" And then she just starts barfing out of nowhere. And we're like, "What is going on?"
I know, but first we did the thing like, "You're fine.
You're fine. You're okay."
She's eating over the garbage can.
But luckily she was over the garbage can. And then our oldest, he's like, "Oh, she was eating some leaves outside," and they're like little ball leaves, and we're like, "What?"
So he ran outside and brought it in.
Grab, and it's some weird plant.
It's off the tree.
It's off the tree, so.
Because they've been looking at the trees, because there's caterpillars everywhere.
Yeah.
So she ate this thing, it looks like little broccoli, but it's like buds of flowers.
Yeah.
And so she's barfing, and then I was like, "Oh my gosh, our child is poisoned. How do you call the poison control?" I was like, "My kid was eating this stuff. That looks like broccoli." I think she's poisoned.
Some plant thing. I think it's a leaf.
Looks like broccoli. But it's not.
But she was okay.
But I was so terrified because she went to bed early, like fell asleep, and then she went to bed, and I kept going in there checking, like, "Is she breathing?" That's what we should talk about. I was at a playgroup, and a couple of the moms mentioned how they have this weird thing, like, you always feel like your kids are dying.
Yeah, it's the worst case scenario type of thing.
Yeah, like the other day, Grayson couldn't sleep, and so we said, "Snuggle with the teddy bear." We have this, like, 4 or 5 foot teddy bear.
Yeah,
like
giant teddy bear, yeah.
And so he was basically, like, laying in the bear's lap.
Enveloped himself in the bear.
Yeah, so he's snuggling with the bear. And it was so cute. And when I went in the morning, the bear had toppled over and its big giant head was over our son. And I just stood there and I was like, "He's dead." Like, our son
nice,
is dead.
Honey,
it
nice.
Looked like the bear smothered him to death. And I was like,
"The bear killed him."
It seriously looked horrified, like a murder scene in a movie. I always say that in a movie. But so I like walked up close and I tapped his feet. And he didn't move, and I was like, "He's dead." And then so I went in, I was like, "Grayson." But then I did the chest thing, watch it up, and so anyway. But apparently I'm not the only one that does that. Other parents, like, have this fear that their kids die.
No, it's a normal thing to think that, I think.
Especially when you're being smothered by teddy bears.
I guess so, 5 foot giant teddy bears.
I'm just glad it's not a Rick's thing only, because, you know, Lacey almost drowned. Our kids...
Get smothered by bears.
Evil teddy bears come alive at night and smother them.
So, yes. So, yeah.
Oh, and Lacey eating poison.
Lacey eating poisonous leaves or something.
For the record, she's fine.
Yeah, she's okay.
And then Lacey, or Jay, earlier in the day, I just saw her walking around with a leaf and she was munching on it. And I was like, "What are you doing?" And she's like, "It's good." And so, I don't know. Our kids are weird. They all want to eat stuff.
Yeah. So, that's okay.
Yeah.
So on
speaking of eating stuff,
on Saturday there was a fun event that our museum has in our town has been holding events for the last couple months on the weekends where they have a bug theme. So they have like giant displays of bugs and other bug-like activities relating. And this Saturday, they invited a world famous guy who's known as the Bug Chef. And so they invited this guy, and he gave this big, huge presentation, and he then thus proceeded to take his cookbook of eating bugs and made five different recipes out of this book of bugs. And then he invited people that were willing to go eat bugs. And so we're like, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Why did we say that?
Let's go eat some bugs.
Who thinks that?
So we went there and we have our kids there and they had fun and we were all watching. And so like the first group of people went up and they ate battered mealworms. And then the second group of people went up and they had like this like, it's like cricket salsa type of thing. Yeah. So it's like baby crickets with corn and onions and peppers and stuff like that. And then the third group was scorpion, and it was like kind of like battered and then chopped up, and Crystal actually ate part of the scorpion tail. Tell him about it, honey.
Ugh.
Ew.
Yeah, that's all I have to say. I don't know what I was thinking. I didn't even have an interest in doing it.
Yeah, when we went there, I thought totally you were not going to do anything.
I don't know what happened. I don't know. I just thought, like, scorpion, that doesn't really seem like a bug. That's more like a lobster.
Sure. It's a crustacean. It's like a fried shrimp.
I mean, when I see scorpions, I don't think, ew, bug. I just think, ew, scorpion. I don't know what I was thinking. But I thought it was, like, fried. So I thought it was going to be textured like calamari, where it's like an onion ring.
Yeah.
Just,
it's a scorpion onion ring.
Yeah, so I thought it was just going to be this little crispy thing, but what was embarrassing is he handed it to me, and I thought since it was deep fried, I wouldn't be able to even see, like, tell what it was, but it looked like tail. Like, it had the little
sections.
Yeah. And there were little kids and people through the whole thing eating bugs, and I was the only one to make a scene. It was so embarrassing, but he handed it to me, and it really, I can't even explain it. My tummy, not that I was like, oh, but I just got struck with this fear. Like, my hands started shaking, and I just said, I can't do this. And everyone started laughing, and the guy was like, then why'd you come up here? I was like, oh, shoot, now I've got to do it. So,
and you did it.
I bit into it thinking it was going to be like succulent. I don't know why.
Tastes good.
And it was like, not, I just thought it would be, I could eat it quickly.
Yeah.
But it was like a branch. Like, you bit down on a branch and I wasn't expecting that. And then scorpions have hair on them and I could feel the hairs coming off on my tongue and they were like toothbrush bristles. Oh, so I just kind of, this sounds disgusting, but I just sucked on it and held it in my mouth and I was about to barf. Not really, but I was like disgusted.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he wasn't looking, I spit it in a napkin.
Yep.
But I mean, I say I ate it because I sucked out all the insides.
Nice.
But it was horrible. And my stomach, like for the rest of the day, I didn't tell you this, I had this like weird twitch pain in my throat and I was like, what if you didn't get the venom out of the stinger and I got poisoned? It scared me.
I know, sweet.
I'm like a hypochondriac. But all day I was like, what if I go into anaphylactic shock and I die from a scorpion that I shouldn't have eaten?
Worst case scenario, people.
I know.
So, but after that, the next group of people, they had that chance to eat a grasshopper. A big grasshopper, probably.
It was like a locust.
It was like, it was about the size of like a fun size candy bar, like a Snickers fun size candy bar.
But it's not fun.
So, but I was adventurous and ate that, and I popped it right in my mouth with no hesitation and chewed it.
Now this one was not; it was lightly seasoned, but it was like straight up bug.
It didn't really have any seasoning on it.
You just You're right. I don't think he did because he put it on a skewer.
He put like lemon. It was a kebab. He squirted lemon on it and like.
It still had its legs and its eyeballs.
And everything. It had everything. Nothing was taken off of it. I ate it. And it was like chewing. It was a very like roughage. Like eventually, you know, it's all the like exoskeleton you're chewing on. And eventually I got it down. It didn't taste like disgusting. But
your face looked disgusted.
It was the texture. Ugh. The texture was really weird. And I'm a texture eater. And I was just like, this texture is not good.
Yeah, I know. And then I was like, I will never do that again. And we go out into the lobby and they're like, hey, try these cricket cookies. They're made out of cricket flour.
Yeah, ground up crickets.
And I was like, no, I don't want to. But the dang people were like, try it.
Do it. Do it.
You can't even tell. And then I find myself eating this cookie and I'm like, why am I doing this to myself?
They weren't that good.
They were dry.
They were all right.
They're overcooked.
Yeah,
but seriously, I was like, what? This is like adult peer pressure.
But a thing to add, it still was a fun event because they had like activities and other things for the kids to do, and we really like taking our kids to the museum activities. So in that aspect, our kids had a blast watching one their parents eat bugs, and
he called Jay up, our 5-year-old, to help prepare the scorpion.
Prepare the scorpion. She didn't eat it.
Okay, but you know what I was thinking while I was in there?
Huh.
I was like, what if this is like a big giant sociological experiment and the point is not just to get people to eat bugs?
It's like peer pressure?
Well, it's like, yeah, here you have this distinguished leader. Like, how do we know this guy's this world famous bug chef? I've never heard of him.
Wow, you're sounding like a conspiracy theorist.
Well, what I'm saying is, so you have this person in front of the crowd, and he gets everyone excited, and then what if it's like after he tours the country, he's going to write this paper, like, here's everyone.
People are lemmings.
Everyone in that room ate a bug because I said they could. Anyway, I'm like, wow, that totally makes sense how Hitler took over. That's what I thought of.
That's where her mind went.
Yes.
Hitler people.
Because everyone, at first.
Bugs. Hitler.
At first, no one volunteered to eat bugs, and by the end, like, everyone was raising their hand, and I was like, what changed?
It's called mob mentality.
He just got us all pumped up to fall for his fascist world takeover.
Evil bug-eating ways.
He's gonna be the next emperor of the world. He can make people eat bugs. I can make them worship me.
Wow. All right, but we ate bugs.
I know. We're going to be in a psychological paper someday. Just saying.
All right, sounds good. And
that was a long story.
That's okay. It was about eating bugs.
Okay, before we go on to our topic, though, I have the quickest little story. So the topic of Santa came up at our house. Do you remember this?
When?
And Grayson just asked, is Santa real? And we asked, well, what do you think? And he's like, yeah, he is real because you guys can't afford to buy his presents.
No way you guys can afford to buy his stuff.
And I think we told that story at Christmas. And so, but it continued. This just happened like last week. And so our kids were trying to figure out how Santa did it. And what they came up with is they're like, I think he goes to Walmart and buys the toys. And then it ended up escalating to the point where they believe that Santa breaks into Walmart after hours and just steals all the toys that he needs and leaves. And both
but
of them
said,
like,
they said he'd leave money, though.
No, well, at first they thought, remember Jay was like, does he take those toys? And so I was like, it was just funny to hear Santa's like this thug.
Oh, we're like Santa makes things in his workshop, and the things he can't make in his workshop, he gets other people to make for him, and then he delivers them.
Yeah, but it was just funny to see how their minds worked. Like,
yeah.
I could just see
their little hamster wheels were spinning.
Santa is an evil Walmart robber.
He's a thief. He's a big, jolly thief.
Magical thief. So, I just thought that was cute and funny.
So.
That's all.
All right. Now we're going to the topic.
Yes.
Topics. Let's talk about some topics.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was trying to, you know, be creative or something.
Oh, wow. with those lyrics.
I know.
So creative. I'm the map. So, we were sent this article by a listener.
A listener. Thank you, Michelle.
And she said, what are your guys' thoughts on this?
So, the topic was basically technology and the limitations that we set for our kids using technology.
Like, but the point was like, that people don't set limits for
their kids. And that's the thing, that's part of the topic, is like, do people set limitations? Are you with someone that does, and how you know, basically, is there a time limit for how long they can use their electronic devices? But the article that we were sent and that we read was mostly focused on how everyone's faces are just behind a screen right now, and we're losing a lot of human interaction and learning how to be able to communicate as people rather than trying to communicate, you know, through our electronic devices.
This is a topic I'm pretty passionate about because I hate technology. I hate smartphones. I hate Facebook. I hate it all, even though I feel completely...
How dare you?
...dependent on it.
Our listeners go to our Facebook page and...
I know.
...communicate with us.
I have the worst love-hate relationship with all technology, which is funny because your family's like psycho-technology.
I'm a big tech guy.
Yes.
And Crystal hates it.
I hate it. So, I just hate being in a room and everyone's connected to their phone...
Or like going...
We mentioned being together with our family.
Yeah, like going to a party. Even this bugs me, and I'm a big tech guy, I would consider. But like, yeah, you go to a party, and you're sitting around on like a couches and chairs, and you're having a conversation at least with one person, but then you look around, and you see that two-thirds of the people aren't even looking around. They're looking at their phones, either checking their social media, email, surfing the net, playing games.
When we were at college, they changed the law that you were fined around the college if you were texting while crossing the crosswalk. Yeah. It was like a $50 fine to text and drive, or text and walk, because so many students got hit because they weren't looking while they were texting to cross a 10-foot section of road. That blows my mind. Like, is your life that pathetic that you can't look up to cross the street?
All right. Well, let's pull it back to the topic.
I'm just saying that I hate technology.
So the topic is about the
children.
Children, our kids using technology.
Putting limits on
and putting
children.
Limits on how much technology they can use. Now, we're not telling people that they shouldn't use technology, because that would just be dumb. Because our children are the first generation of kids to be raised in full, like, tech generation. They won't ever know what it's like to not know what cell phones are, to not know what the internet is, and all these big things.
A VHS.
Yeah, VHS, or even, like, we... cassette tapes, or even Discmans, where you had played your CD discs, and you know, we didn't have MP3 players and stuff like that.
Yeah, the other day, my little brother was like, "Oh, we're talking about April Fools," and he's like, "Yeah, I was sending these." He called them Rick Roll videos.
Rick Rolls, yeah.
And I was sending some Rick Rolls to all my friends, and I was like, "What's a Rick Roll?" And he just looked at me with like pure disgust, and he's like, "Rick Rolls, come on." I was like, I have never heard that term. And he's like, they are from your generation. Like, they started then. And I was like, dude, the internet wasn't around when I was a kid.
When we were younger, we didn't have the internet.
And I was like...
And when we did have the internet, it was so slow that we... I mean...
The dial-up.
Kids don't even understand that...
You had to wait to get to those pages.
Well, technically, like, YouTube... and stuff like that hasn't been around that long.
I know. Like, we had just... I didn't have texting or anything. I just started... Like, when I was a sophomore in high school, that's when, for me, MSN Messenger got big. And that's when I'd start chatting with my, that was like pre-texting and it was so fun. But I was like, we didn't do that. And then I did that thing. I'm not even old, but I was like, back in my day. It's like, we couldn't even use the internet for book reports. We had to go to the library and use this thing called a card catalog and find like your topic. And it took forever. I'm like, I don't even know what Rickroll is.
But we digress again.
Again, sorry. I'm on a rampage.
Crystal is very passionate about it. So our kids are losing opportunities of real interactions with real people by being stuffed behind their screens all the time. And so...
Well, basically, the lady's addressing specifically that parents are replacing real interaction with screen time.
Well, and it's also, she also makes the point about how that when we don't know what to do with our kids, we just give them an electronic device to kind of like get them out of our hair type of situation as well. It's kind of like,
and I fall for that like, all
be like,
the
oh,
time.
I want you to be quiet at the store, so here's my phone type of situation. And
I think our worst one is driving. Like, it's gone to the point where we drive to, like, Walmart down the street, and I turn on the movie to watch while we're driving. So, that's my thing. Or yeah, if I'm tired and I don't want to deal, I'm like, just go play a video game.
So the question is like, what do you, I pose this question to the listeners, what do you do as parents of children, whether they're young or teenagers, on limiting their connection to the digital world, so to speak.
Yeah.
So do you have a time limit? Do you say you only get to play games X amount of minutes or hours? You only get to watch TV so long. No phones at the dinner table, no phones when we go out as a family. Like, what are some of the rules that you guys have established that you feel works for your families?
Yeah, I like how, so it's not really an article. I mean, it is, but the lady wrote it in the form of a letter to her own children.
Yeah.
Because she is trying not to do technology to replace their interaction. And she said, kids today are starved for attention, true connection, and relationships. I don't want you to feel starved. That is why I say no. I know that feeding the desire to play on your device is like giving you candy. It satisfies for a moment, but provides no long-term nutrition. It does more harm than good. Ugh, I love that analogy so much. Although I love candy, so
so much.
Kind of a bad analogy.
Well, no, it's a good analogy because sometimes when your kids are acting up or you want them, get them out of their hair, that's another thing that people have been infamous for doing, is be like, here, have some candy, get out of my hair.
Yeah.
And does candy really do anything except make you happy momentarily because it tastes really good? No, it doesn't. It doesn't have any nutrition or have any good thing for your body, pretty much.
Except for my mental health.
Except for your endorphins being released because of the satisfying candy. So I guess in some way it helps. But, and we're doing the same thing with technology. To get kids out of our hair or to calm the storm, so to speak, when they're throwing fits, be like, here, just take your device, play your game, watch your show, just stop doing what you're doing.
I don't remember. That was good. I think it was that we listened to a therapy podcast.
Yeah.
And I think she was saying that we feel like it's part of our parental duty, or it's a sign of good parenting if we can, our kids never say they're bored, which is wrong. That's not our purpose. And it's good for your kids to be bored because A, they need to learn how to deal with it. And B, that helps them use their brain. And I think there was a time in the winter when I start feeling really like depressed and we don't go outside, we watch so much TV there, that I've started trying to turn off the TV and be like, okay, we're done for the entire day. And for like half an hour, the kids just wallow on the floor like, we're so bored. And
you know what? So am I!
I know, and I get this, like, twitchy, like, I just want to turn it back on. But then, once they realize, like, this is it, they always go find something to do.
Yeah, they always...
And they usually end up playing together. Mm-hmm. And I just hear them laughing, generally. Laughing.
Until
and,
they're crying.
I know, until someone gets hit. But, and it always hits me, like, why am I watching so much TV? Or why are we playing so many video games when this is the outcome of unplugging?
So... And so we're trying to be better, but we're not perfect, and sometimes we do just want to turn on the TV, because especially at the end of a long day, you know, you don't want to deal with anything, and that...
You don't want to deal with those things you birthed. That
may sound like a cop-out, but I'm sure there are a lot of parents that feel the same way. It's just like turn on an episode of your favorite cartoon while I just sit here and relax for a minute.
Do something for me.
Type of thing, so... So, and like we said, Crystal may hate technology, and I love technology, but we understand that our kids are growing up in a technological age, and that they need to know how to work these devices.
Bah.
Like, they need to know how to use computers.
Unfortunately.
And they need, and even like smartphones and other technology devices, because that's what they're... future is going to be, and even their careers are going to be heavily involved by using these devices. And so it's not like we're going to say...
Until the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
And technology fails.
Well, that's why we have guns, too.
Nice. let's delete that.
But, no, and so it's important to teach our kids to use these devices, but...
Not guns.
It's
technology.
It's important to teach them how to use guns, too.
Gun safety.
Gun safety, people. But no, it's important to teach them how to use it. That way they can know how to use them responsibly, rather than just letting them go at it willy-nilly.
Willy-nilly?
That's what I said, willy-nilly.
Back in my day,
we shared willy-nilly all the time.
Do people still say willy-nilly?
I do. I just did. Bringing it back, baby. 2015.
Wait, and you always made fun of me for saying off the hook.
Off the hook.
That's way cooler than willy-nilly.
But anyway.
Sorry.
So
wow, I'm going off on tangents.
Teach kids... tech and tech responsibility, and
if you want to.
No, not if you want to. That if you are, and I, this is my soapbox, you had your soapbox. My soapbox is if you are neglecting your kids from using technology, you are doing them harm more than you are doing good, because when they get out in the real world, they're not going to have the skills that they need to survive.
You're making a metaphorical fat kid.
That's not true. You don't have to be fat.
Metaphorically.
To be a tech person.
I'm going with the candy metaphor. Come on.
Whatever. But I'm just saying.
Technologically fat.
I'm just saying, teach your kids responsibility. Then they will be able to understand the limitations that you put on the devices that they use.
Now my question is, are you preaching to the choir?
I'm saying, just get it done.
Because we never overindulge our kids with tech.
I'm not saying we don't, but we're trying to be better. And, like, turning the TV off and forcing our kids to be bored for those 30 minutes until they find something to entertain themselves.
Yeah. And the lady ends the letter by saying, it's okay to be bored. We can be bored together.
Yeah.
And we can discover new things together. And that's the point.
And
like, live your life.
Well, and something that we've decided, like, well, if our kids aren't playing, if they're not using their tech, then... they're bored, but they still want to do things with us. Then, so we've started investing in better and more board games.
Play on words.
That's right.
When you're bored,
play some board games. Boom. So, I mean, we just bought a really, really fun board game that the whole family enjoys. It's called King of Tokyo. And it's something that I would recommend people to play, because board games aren't what they used to be back in the day when we just had the Monopoly.
And we went willy-nilly with Monopoly.
We willy-nilly with the Battleship and the Connect Four. And not that those games are bad, because they're classic games and we need to play them, but they're...
You had to go on a board game tangent?
Yep, the board games are awesome nowadays, so look into it, people. And if you have questions on what to get in the future, you can ask us on the Clown Car on Facebook, and we'll let you know what would be good games for your family.
You know what? We say that every episode, and we've never done what we said we were going to do.
What?
Like, we're going to post this on Facebook. Like, my blog I said I wrote last week. We haven't even posted that. We do that every week. Like, we're going to do this, and then we don't. So.
Well, whose fault's that?
Yours.
Is it?
Mr. Willy Nilly.
We're not blaming anyone. This is still an ongoing process, and we're learning how to do things. What?
So play board games when you're bored. That's what he's saying.
So we want to know what your opinions are on technology and how you use them with your kids.
I love technology.
No, you don't.
But not as much as you. You see.
I don't know what you're singing.
Ah, Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, bah. Right.
Anyway.
So, we would recommend to teach your kids the proper use of technology and then be able to set the limitations so that they can get that true connection and relationships that...
Like the letter says in the article.
So, it's important to do that. Okay. So,
Thank you.
Put your phones away, people.
Oh, I thought you were ending.
And talk.
Thank you for listening to the Clown Car on your tech devices. Parenting is hard, and we believe you should get a gold star just for trying.
Just remember, our way is not the only way. Find out what works for you. You are doing a good job.
You can follow us and share your thoughts on Facebook and Twitter at The Clown Car, and email us at theclowncarshow@gmail.com. Make sure you subscribe, rate,
and review our show
on iTunes. Until next time,
enjoy your circus. You've been listening to a Closet Geek Studios production. For all information about Closet Geek Studios, visit theclosetgeek.net for all your geeky needs, or follow us on Twitter and Facebook.